KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes, along with my co-host, Fresno State's Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko. Thanks for joining us this morning. Although Jim couldn't be with us in the studio today, I caught up with him earlier this week to get all the latest news on Fresno State sports. Here's that audio.
How are you doing today, Jim?
Doing great.
Jim, it's been a big week for the Dogs and a very busy one at that, with so many sports competing into the weekend. Let's start with softball. Fresno State got out to a 5-0 start at the Kajikawa Classic at Arizona State. Beat two ranked teams, number 8 Tennessee and number 23 Utah. That's got to be the ideal start for the Dogs, right?
Oh, it's been, yeah, they're great. They're ranked, you know, right now 24th in the country, and we open up this weekend, obviously at home, for our first, you know, home games with baseball also. But it's a busy time. We have, you know, swimming and diving are, you know, competed in Texas this week, and we, you know, set some records. Track and field's going on, you know, baseball and softball here this weekend. Saturday will be a big day, and obviously tennis is going on, so it's never slow. It's a great time for student athletes. Basketball, both teams are competing for championships. Tournament's coming up a few weeks from now, but it's a good time, and it's a good time to see our fans to come out and support our teams, but it's also a very busy time for our students, not only academically but athletically, you know, compete.
We saw Fresno State softball jump to number 22 and 24 in the major top 25 polls. How important is that from your perspective to have that program competing at that level?
Well, I think, you know, our goal is, I mean, it's huge for softball, obviously, but our goal is to have every one of our teams always competing. And right now, basketball's in third, women's basketball's in second. You know, baseball's picked third in the league. Softball's now obviously has a chance to win the conference again 2 years in a row. Swimming and diving have a chance to have their best finish ever this year. It helps to have a really good potential Olympian on the team. Makes that even better. So we're going to keep going, and our goal is to have our kids make sure that they compete, and our fans expect it. But softball, obviously, being the top 25 is huge for us, and that should be the goal for all of our programs.
And, you know, it's no secret with softball, they've been a traditional powerhouse. But in the past 5 to 10 years, we've seen the competition seem to rise across the board.
Yep.
You know, all the Power Five conferences,
yep.
A lot more teams are a lot better now,
yep.
It seems. What do you think that's a result of?
I think the investment in women's sport. You know, we just obviously had the article settled ROCR report in Title IX, but I think what it's shown is over the last 10 to 15, 20 years, a lot more investments in youth sports for women, a lot more opportunities, better competition, better financial resources. And I think, obviously, with us moving up from the WAC to the Mountain West adds a different level of competition. But I think women's sports, and a very good part of it, is the investment that we've been able to make in nationally in youth and kids, like my daughter playing golf and tennis, and the resources that they have now make it better. So when they get to high school and college, they're ready to compete. And it's a whole different level now, and there's more athletes doing it, and so we'll keep plugging away at that.
Are people investing more in it now, in those power conferences, the schools that have the most resources, putting more into women's sports, specifically softball?
Yeah, I think, again, I want to limit it to just softball, but, you know, my experience is at Cal and Oregon. Oregon just opened up a $19 million softball facility. They opened up a soccer lacrosse facility. So I think there is more investments, especially when you're adding sports. With us adding water polo and wrestling, we'll be adding more resources to those facilities. But if you're going to compete in a sport, you got to make sure you have enough academic services staff to support, but you also need to make sure you have the facilities to support the programs as well, because no sense having a sport and being average in it. You got to try to compete and try to win. You know, there's no reason to have it.
And our softball stadium here at Fresno State, Margie Wright Diamond, second to none, right?
Yeah, it's up there. Every one of our facilities, whether it's Biden Field or St. Martin Center or whatever it might be, you can always tweak and add a few things here and there. And we'll always look at those to upgrade them a little bit here and there. But obviously resources are an issue, and we got to make sure that we're going to have 21 sports. So it's going to be making sure that they're kept up and done it. But Margie Wright Field is phenomenal. I was very fortunate to have a chance to meet her about this time last year when we obviously put somebody in our Hall of Fame, and she was here for that ceremony, and it was nice to meet her, and we know what she's gone through here and what she's done for this program, this community. It's been phenomenal.
And she was part of that original push where we got a lot of Title IX notoriety,
a lot
of things got done.
Yep, a lot of things changed.
Here.
Yep.
You mentioned the OCR news last week that came out. Talk a little bit about that and what that is.
Well, I think it doesn't end anything, because what it means is that we have to never put the university in such a situation like that ever again. So we got to keep working hard to make sure that we do things the right way and keep investing and getting the opportunities correctly. It's nice, all the effort that's been put over the last 10 years, that the OCR saw that we made great strides well before I got here. So I can't take any credit for that. We can take credit for just a few things that we have going on now, but what it is a warning to all of us to make sure that we give every student athlete the opportunity to succeed, male or female, and we'll do that.
And that's been sort of your motive from the get-go. It seems like, yeah, I hear you every interview. You say you want each team to have the best opportunity, the proper facilities.
If we're going to have a parent drop their kids off and say they're going to come to Fresno State, we need to make sure that their track is runnable, that you know the tennis courts are up to par, their academic services are up to par. And we don't want to be a drain on the university, but there's got to be an investment on all our parts, and our fans included, to make sure everybody has that what they need to succeed.
As I alluded to earlier, a lot of sports going on this time of year, probably keeping your staff pretty busy. Mm-hmm. Talk about just the manpower that goes into running all these different venues.
You know, that's probably you feel bad for, because, you know, you just look at this weekend, we've got softball, basketball, baseball, all at the same time.
Lacrosse.
And you're pretty much, our staff is a lot less than most schools, so they've got families and kids, and they're trying to do everything, but it's, you know, they're out here 3 days in a row after working 6 days a week. So kudos to all of them. I mean, we can't thank them enough for their efforts, from facilities to media relations to game operations to security to, obviously, the coaches have their timeline, but it's a nonstop. College athletics goes, it's no longer an 8-month year. It's 11 months. You have a little time off in July, maybe, but you're working 7 days a week, 12, 14 hours a day, and it's never a dull moment.
And it's an exciting time now. We've had warm weather for the most part the last couple of weeks. Spring sports is in the air. You've got lacrosse on Sunday, baseball and softball all weekend. Seems pretty fitting for this weather. But talk about just some of the events that you've had a chance to go out to lately, or that you plan to.
Last weekend, you know, I did like a quadruple hitter. I did lacrosse. I did women's basketball. I did a baseball alumni game. We had a couple of different banquets we put on for the youth kids and women's sports. And so you just kind of have your whole weekend. You're kind of tied up. But it's what we do. It's what our job is. And we're going to continue to do it and engage our community, engage our fans, but make sure our kids, our student athletes know that we support them. And we're going to do a better job of scheduling down the road. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of having three games at the same time. You know, this weekend we'll have baseball, basketball, and softball within an hour of each other. And it's hard for our fans to go to all of them. Some of those want to go to all three events, but when they're all at the same time, they can't. So that's just us doing a better job of scheduling. When the Mountain West dictates the time of the game, you don't have a chance. But when we dictate the time of the game, we can maybe put them an hour and a half apart. So our fans that want to go to all three, that buy tickets to all three, aren't choosing which one to go to. That's just something that we have to take our time and figure out.
You said you went to the baseball alumni game. Did you get a chance to meet any former Dogs that were exciting?
It was great. It was my second year. One of my first events when I first got here was the baseball alumni golf tournament out at Table Mountain, and I was able to play in that this last Friday, and then obviously went to the game on Saturday for a little bit and saw the teams warming up. Great history there, great guys, and I think we're going to have a great baseball team this year.
Talking about baseball a little bit, three-game series this weekend against Creighton. Diamond Dogs were picked to finish third in the Mountain West. I get the sense, though, that they have bigger expectations than that.
Well, I think they're going in thinking that they can win the league. And we have some good arms. We have our Friday pitcher had a heck of a summer, you know, over Cape Cod League. And Bates has done a good job. And, you know, we got some exciting news coming up on the stadium and honoring some former coach that we'll kind of get into maybe next our next discussion when I can talk about it more. But the tradition of baseball softball here is phenomenal in the Valley and Fresno State, and we got to continue that and make sure we're moving forward, compete for the championship, and go to postseason, get back to the World Series.
Like you said, baseball's got an experienced, deep pitching staff. Getting off to a hot start, that could really play in.
It'll be a fun week. Creighton is not bad, and this will be a good chance for us to kind of get it started and see where we're at. You know, you've been beating up each other since September, you know, and now it's time to play somebody else.
Going into men's basketball a little bit, huge win this week at Wyoming. Yep. Down three starters. Talk about just the resilience you're seeing from that team right now.
Oh, God, it's great. I mean, and, you know, Rodney and his whole staff and the players have done, you know, and I'll talk about Jamie too, but when you're down four starters and you should have beat Nevada without four starters, we got UNLV, you know, we swept them, we beat San Diego State. We're in the heat of it now. We probably won't be able to catch San Diego State because I think we're three games behind, but if we can finish the top two or three, get a good seed for the tournament, you never know what happens. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of one day at a time and March Madness, and get that tournament, go to the NCAAs, and see what happens.
And the top five seeds in the Mountain West get a first-round bye in the tournament.
Yep.
I saw that was the first time Fresno State swept Wyoming in men's basketball since 1994.
How that?
Pretty cool stat there.
It is.
And Fresno State was the first Mountain West team to win on the road in February.
you look at some of the scores. If you Google Mountain West scores last month, there's been so many games down to 1 or 2 points. And, you know, we're winning some of those close games and with some guys that are hurt, which means now when I get our guys back healthy, we'll be deeper. And you get in the postseason, you get to Vegas, you've got to be deep because you have a chance to play 3 or 4 games in 3 days. And it's hard to do that with 6 guys.
I can't help to think there can't be many teams in the Mountain West without 3 starters who could go on the road and win in this league.
And we had a chance to beat Nevada without 4 starters. We're 4 out of 7. I mean, Carter's
4 key players.
Four key players.
Saturday, Fresno State hosts Wyoming at 3 o'clock. We've also got the alumni game immediately following that. Last year, we saw Jervis Cole organize a great group. Johnny Hines, Carl Ray Harris, James Gumby Gray, Tyrone Bradley. How much are you looking forward to seeing some of those guys come back and be around the program?
Well, it's special to have your former athletes come back. I get to speak to that group right after halftime. I'm down the locker room, you know, just to say hello to them in a few minutes. And I had a great chance to talk to Paul George, and he was up at Oregon when we played Oregon at the game, and he came. And having your former athletes come back means a lot. It shows you their dedication to Fresno State and their community, what it meant to them. If they come back, it means that we did something right when they were here, and we want to keep getting more and more back. You have a lot of football players, the baseball alums last weekend. You have your softball player. All those people come back, and if we can have an impact in their lives where they know this is their home, they're part of this place, they're part of our history, that means a lot, and be able to talk to them is going to be a great time for them.
And then, like you said earlier, women's basketball is right up there in the conference race, 11-2 in conference. They trailed Wyoming on Wednesday. They were down, I think, 20-4. Came roaring back with some good defense and won that game. Talk about that team as well and just how they've progressed from the early season to where they're at now.
You know, it's Jamie's did such a good job. I mean, we lost a lot of key players last year, and we had a chance to do well last year and go in the tournament, and you're one of the top couple teams in the league. But to lose the starters and come back and compete, early in the year we struggled. I mean, we struggled early in the season. She was trying to find her lineup and, you know, who it was going to be. And now she's kind of got it together and we're competing. We have a chance to win the conference. And if you can get a top, you know, Colorado State's pretty good. But if we can get that 2 seed, and then you never know. And nowadays, it's just put yourself in a spot to win, be in the top of the conference, and then you get the postseason and the conference tournament, and who knows what happens.
And women's basketball's won that Mountain West tournament in recent years.
And we're young. It's a young team, so we're going to have a chance.
What else is going on in Fresno State Athletics? Any updates on wrestling and water polo?
Yeah, wrestling
and
water polo, we should probably be putting those searches out early next week. And I think wrestling will go out first, water polo will go out second. Want to have them in here by May and start recruiting for the November 11th class. So it's an exciting time. Still a few things we have to go through the next couple days. But by the time this show is over, hopefully maybe we'll have some answers on the timeline. But it'll be hopefully early next week. We'll post the positions and get that going. Stadium is moving forward. We've got a bunch of meetings this week on phase 1, phase 2 of the stadium. We just got to keep plugging away. You just kind of have your little calendar check mark kind of what to do. But it's never quiet. A lot of things to do. We got stuff we have to catch up on a little bit. But it's a fun time. And people have been really very supportive. Our coaching staff and spring football will be starting here in a month or so. It'll be exciting to see how the new staff does. And I know Tim and the guys are working hard to get that coordinated and figured out what's going on. But then obviously, you know, we have the track should be done here in a few months and the tennis court's done and a lot of things happening.
Yeah, great to see all the work on all the different facilities. Yeah. And then talking about football, you're also in the middle of your season ticket renewals, right?
It's critical. And people, I'll tell you, when you come off of a 3-9 season, you always kind of take a deep breath and go, gosh, it's going to be a tough renewal time. But our donors have stepped up. We've gotten a lot of new donors, new Green Bee donors. So we've got to keep that positive. And then I think they see the energy and they're excited. And we need, obviously, that's a revenue stream.
And there's some pretty affordable options for great football seats for those who are interested.
Exactly.
I just renewed my family's 8 seats, so we're all excited about that. But how can people out there get more information on all the deals?
Just go on bulldogscholarship.org or go to our website, and Franklin and our whole development staff have redone the look of it and the feel of it and hopefully easy to process. And our tickets are really, you hate to always say cheap, but they're pretty expensive compared to a lot of Power 5 schools. When, you know, in Oregon's tickets are $630 a season ticket and ours are like $120. You know, it's a pretty good deal, and it'd be great if every fan in this community bought one more ticket and fill up that stadium every game. We lead the league. Even as bad a year as we had this last year, we finished 3rd in attendance, and which shows you that we can finish higher.
And it's not just important for football that Bulldog Stadium be full on game days. It impacts the whole athletics program, right?
I would say 75% of our revenue we bring in is from football. And if I think we were down about 700,000 in season ticket sales this year, And that all that does is affect water polo and volleyball and tennis and track, and because you don't make up that money. I mean, that's just money you budget and you don't get. So.
So if people want more information, they can go on gobaldogs.com, call 278-DOGS.
Yep, call BDF office, we'll take care of it.
Perfect.
Awesome, thank you.
Thanks again to Jim Bartko. Fans, you can follow Jim on Twitter, at JimBartko1, and you can follow at FS Athletics for all the latest on Fresno State sports. And now joining us in studio is a very special guest, Jill Compton, star pitcher for the Fresno State softball team. Jill, welcome to the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. It's a relatively new show, as we talked about. It's only our second episode, and you have the honor of being the first ever student athlete to be on our show. So thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So your Bulldogs are ranked 22nd and 24th in the nation this week. How's it feel around campus, you know, walking around, coming off a 5-0 start?
I mean, it feels awesome. Our team's worked so hard for this. We're all just excited to keep playing and hopefully get ranked even higher. Our goal was to be in the top 25 and just to continue. That, I think, is going to motivate us through the whole season.
This has been one of your goals, right? To be back in the top 25, something that's pretty common around Fresno State softball historically. Mm-hmm. Is it good to get that early recognition, though? Get that out of the way right off the bat?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. But like I said, we have the whole season. To continue being in the top 25 is like our ultimate goal. That's what we've been working for. So it's awesome. And I just hope that we stay there and we keep working hard to contribute towards that goal.
So I know you guys didn't play at home to open the season, but have you felt any buzz around campus as far as students congratulating you?
Yeah, well, our social media is going off right now. Everyone's been coming up to us and saying, like, congratulations, we'll be there this weekend. So that's really awesome to get that support. And I think that we'll have a good fan base coming out for us this weekend.
Definitely. And this weekend, you've got your own tournament, the Fresno State kickoff at Margie Wright Diamond. How good does it feel just to be in front of the red wave? How much are you looking forward to that?
It's the most awesome feeling ever. Being at Margie Wright Diamond, we have the most amazing fans, and we get a lot of fans, too. Whenever we go to other fields, we're like, dang it, we don't have our fans there, really. But it's awesome to have, like, the red wave there and so much support. It's just a rowdy crowd, and that's, like, what we love to play in front of. So,
you know, you're a senior now. You've traveled to a lot of different facilities around the country. Mm-hmm. How does Margie Wright Diamond stack up?
Ours is the best by far. We have great facility people that make our fields look amazing, and our fans are just the best. We go to other schools and we're like, our field's better. It's always competition, though, so we love our field.
Nice luxury to have, huh?
Yeah.
So let's talk about your opening weekend. You played at the Kajikawa Classic at Arizona State, mm-hmm. opened up 5-0, wins over number 8 Tennessee, number 23 Utah, Indiana, Boston College. You know, those are some big-name schools that you guys are playing against. Is that a confidence builder to go in there and do so well?
Yeah, they were really good teams, and we're a really good team too. So I think we were just excited to go play, and we're always pretty good our opening weekend because we get out the jitters and it's all adrenaline kind of. But to continue that for the rest of the season, it's going to be really important for us. And that was a big confidence builder to see that we can compete with them. And I don't know, we're just excited to see what the season holds for us. So.
Typically, you hear about the West Coast schools having an advantage with better weather, warmer weather than some of the other schools across the country. Mm-hmm. This year, you guys have had a bit of rain. Did that throw a wrench into your practice plans at all preparing for the season?
I think that it's made us mentally tough because we'll have to go out to practice and pull the tarp and then put it back on and then pull it again. And then we'll be practicing in our barn. We won't even be practicing outside. So I think it's making us more mentally tough, and that's going to make us compete better. And we've been through it all. So I think that it's really helped us that we've had rain, actually.
So as a pitcher, when you talk about practicing in the barn, what exactly are you doing? Are you throwing bullpen sessions?
Mm-hmm. We'll throw on our turf, and it's not the same as throwing outside, but we still get the same advantage. We still get our bullpens and stuff, but we're just not outside. But I think that it's made us more mentally tough because we don't always have that sunny weather to go out and play on. So as a pitcher, I guess pitching in the barn isn't really that much different, but yeah.
Talk about the team this year as far as strengths and weaknesses. What do you see that maybe you guys need to improve on a little bit? What do you see that you can really hang your hat on as a strength?
I think our strength is definitely our offense. We came out ready to hit this past weekend. So I think that throughout our whole lineup, we have a lot of strong hitters, a lot of power. So I think that's going to be one of our strengths. I think our weakness is just playing down to opponents, because sometimes when we play against some of our lower competition, we play down to that. And just to make sure that we're taking it each pitch at a time, each game at a time, really making sure that every inning is important and every game is important as playing Tennessee.
What does Coach Ford tell you as far as how to avoid playing down to someone, or, you know, how to stay at your own level?
She tells us that it's about us. It doesn't matter who's in the other dugout. Any team could beat us on any given day, and we could beat any team on any given day. So to really take it game by game.
What are your goals as a team this year?
Being in the top 25. That's one of our main goals, winning conference and making it to postseason and winning. We want to make it super this season. So those are our main goals. And I think that if we play how we did this past weekend, that those are totally achievable.
That's something Fresno State softball is used to seeing around here. So it feels like the community's ready for that again. Have you gotten that sense, too, as far as just an overall community buzz?
Mm-hmm. Like we have great support, and that's where our community wants to see us, and that's where we want to be seen, too.
Talk about growing up. You grew up on the Central Coast. What attracted you to Fresno State and to Fresno State softball?
Well, Fresno State athletics is just very supported, and I felt that when I came to visit here. And the field and the facility is amazing, and I just fell in love with the campus and the support here. So I felt right at home when I visited.
Did you always know you wanted to play college softball?
At first, well, when I was young, I wasn't very good at softball, but my dad kept pushing me and like working with me. And he's the one that like really said, like, Jill, I think you can play. And I'm like, I don't know, like, I'm not that good, but I kept working hard. And then when I became a freshman in high school, I realized that I was good enough to play in college. So, I've been working for it for a long time. So I'm happy that I'm here at Fresno State and playing Division I softball.
So your freshman year is kind of when you first realized you might be able to play at a college level. Did you realize how high of a level you might end up playing at that time?
No, not really. I just like to work hard, and I didn't really think that I'd be playing at this level, but I'm happy that I am, and I'm happy that I've succeeded so far.
Does that work carry over for you in the classroom as well? I think I saw that you had all Mountain West academic honors as well.
In school, I've kind of struggled a little bit, but I have so much support here with our tutors and academic staff, so I've been pretty good in the classroom as well.
What do you think is the key for a student athlete to do well, both in the classroom and on the field or on the court?
Our time management skills are very important, because we get up, we go to weights, we go to class, then we go to practice, then we have another practice, then we go to study hall. So we aren't done with our day till like 9. So we have to make sure that we get our assignments done even earlier than they're due, to make sure we know exactly when we're doing things. And like, our time management is the most important part of succeeding both on and off the field.
It seems like a pretty stacked schedule for you guys. Mm-hmm. Hopefully some social life time in there too, or is that pretty hard to fit in?
Usually our social life just consists of like hanging out with each other. Like, we go to the field, we practice, then we do some homework, and then we're all at each other's apartments, like just playing Guitar Hero or like that kind of stuff. So we do have a social life, but it's usually just with each other. We don't really have that many friends outside of softball, just because we're always with each other. So.
So Guitar Hero still got some popularity. Huh?
Yeah. I love that game.
What else do you like to do in your spare time? What do you do for fun or when you go back home to visit?
When I'm back home to visit, I like to hike a lot. There's a lot of good hiking in Pismo Beach area. And that's what I do with my family a lot. Like, my dad and my sister like to hike. So I've been into hiking when I go home.
Anything water-wise that you do, being by the ocean?
Not really, actually. I don't really like the beach that much. The water's so cold that I'm never really in the water. So.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So going back to softball a little bit, for you personally, we talked about the team starting 5-0. You started 3 games. You're 3-0 on the year, 0.33 ERA. Obviously, it's a team-first goal for you all this year. But is it nice to have those individual accomplishments as well?
Yeah, I love having the individual accomplishments, because we've worked so hard. Like, I've worked very hard for this, but in all, like, I just want to win. Yeah, the stats and everything means a lot, but like, I have a lot to improve on. Like, I talked to my coach this weekend, and it's like, I didn't really pitch that great. Like, my stats say that I did, but I think that I have a lot more room to grow. Like I said, at the end of the day, we just want to win. And if I pitch well, then we have the chance to win. And that's all I really care about.
So I'm curious, why is it you say you didn't pitch that well this weekend?
Just mentally, I think I could be a little better, like attacking more hitters a little better. But my stuff just wasn't really as sharp as I want it to be. The stats say otherwise, but I know that I have more room to grow, I guess.
And we should mention Mountain West Pitcher of the Week, National Pitcher of the Week. I think it was your first time getting the national honor. Was that pretty cool to hear about?
Yeah, that was awesome. I think last year or the year before, Kylie Shea was runner up for that one. So that was really cool for me to hear about. But like I said, I just want to win. So if that comes with it, then that comes with it. But I'm just happy we had a great weekend, and I'm excited for our weekends to come too.
In college softball, it seems like a lot of the times teams' hopes sort of rest on the pitching staff. Is there a lot of pressure that comes with that? Do you feel pressure as far as, you know, if I pitch well, the team's going to do well?
Yes and no, because yeah, it starts with a pitcher, but we have to score to win too. So like I can hold them, but we have to score. So I think there's pressure on the pitcher and the hitters, because if I'm pitching a shutout, then the hitters are like, yeah, like I need to run for my pitcher. And then the opposite, like if I'm giving up runs, the hitters will have that pressure, like I need to get more runs for my pitcher. So like I think there's pressure on both sides, and it's a team sport. So it starts with the pitcher, I think, but in all, we have to win with the hitters and the defense too. So
typically you hear about pitchers get comfortable if they have a few runs mm-hmm. for a cushion. Do you like having that, or do you like it to be a tighter game because it kind of raises your level as well?
I like it both ways. I like the pressure that it comes with it because it's fun. But having those runs and watching my team just smash on other teams is just awesome. Like, that's the best feeling.
The team has some expectations this year. You know, as a senior, you've dealt with a lot of that pressure already. Is there anything you're telling the other girls as far as what you need to do to win the Mountain West, to get in the top 25, get to the postseason, achieve all those goals that you have?
Mm-hmm. Well, my freshman and sophomore year, we were like one or two games from winning the Mountain West. So we try to tell the team like every game matters, because it does. We've lost the Mountain West by one game before. So knowing that, and knowing that every pitch counts and like the little things matter, is what's going to make us successful.
Talk about your experience at Fresno State to this point. What are your biggest memories or best memories on or off the field?
I think just meeting the new girls coming in and seeing us progress as a team, because I came in when Coach Ford came in too. So I was recruited by Coach Wright, and seeing like the different ways that Coach Ford's has helped us, and like the new kids that she's recruited. And there's so many great girls that I've played with, and I'll always cherish those memories.
Who's been your biggest influence? You mentioned you were recruited by Coach Wright. You've played for Coach Ford. Were they both a big influence to you? Do you have a mentor?
Well, without Coach Wright, I would not be here probably. So obviously she's a big inspiration to me. But Coach Ford has just really progressed me in my pitching. I have learned so much from her. And so pitching wise, I think I've learned a lot from her. But mentally wise, I've learned a lot from our assistant coach, Coach Wynn. She's helped me a lot with my mental game and just really progressed me to be the pitcher that I am today.
Like we said earlier, you've got a big weekend coming up, your own tournament. I think Kansas is here, Sac State, UC Riverside. What would you like the listeners to know as far as how they can help you by coming out to support the team?
Be rowdy. I think we love when our fans are just crazy, and that feeds us energy. And when we bring energy onto the field, we can do amazing things.
Should be some great weekend weather, so good luck to Fresno State this weekend. Hope you do well, and great luck the rest of the season. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
It's about time to wrap things up, so thanks for listening. Please tune in again next Saturday morning at 8:30 for another Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.